Christmas is not just for kids. This is Father Scott Seetoller. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Wednesday, and by this point in the week, you're starting to feel overwhelmed by all your duties, responsibility, obligations. Please try to laugh today. Go out of your way to make yourself laugh by listening to a good joke, seeing something funny. Share a joke with somebody else. Make them laugh, and you both benefit. Laughter is the music of the heart. Laughter is pain turned inside out. Laughter is the shock absorber of life's hard knocks. Sometimes the only sense you can make out of life is a sense of humor. You got to remember to laugh today if you're starting to feel overwhelmed. Well, every Wednesday this year, we're celebrating Christmas. No, I'm not out of my mind. Actually, there's a method to my madness. I'm saying anybody who takes Christmas seriously gets into a certain frame of mind. They have a certain joy and peace in their life. They have more hope in their life. Because now, what do at Christmas? We celebrate the birth of our Savior. Why not celebrate Christmas once a week? Christmas is not just December 25th. That's a date on a calendar. Christmas is an attitude. Christmas is a way of life. Christmas is a way of thinking. I say, let's celebrate Christmas. Let's get in the Christmas mood. Isn't Jesus the reason for the season? Well, Jesus is alive. Right now He's alive. We can celebrate His life. We'll at least do that every Wednesday. And what I'm going to do is take a Christmas song and give you the background to the song, give you the story behind the song. And you know what the song is today? That I want to give you the story behind the song. It's Angels We Have Heard on High. And that's a song that I really like, huh? Let's go through the words. No, I'm not going to sing it. I'll spare you. But here's the words. Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Glory in excelsis Deo, right? Glory to God in the highest. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? Say what may the tidings be, which inspire your heavenly song. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Glory to God in the highest. Come to Bethlehem and see Him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Glory in excelsis Dei. Glory to God in the highest. See within the manger laid Jesus, Lord of heaven and earth. Mary, Joseph, lend your aid. With us sing our Savior's birth. Gloria in excelsis Deo. All right, what's the story behind this song? Here it is. Many images accompany Christmas, fun and frolic, snow and decorations, laughter and family gatherings. Images so ingrained in most people's minds that they find it difficult to imagine the holiday any other way. Yet, in truth, Christmas only recently became the festive holiday we now cherish. For almost 1,500 years, the observation of the birth of Jesus was not recognized on every street corner, but left to divinely called men who led a hard and demanding life, toiling in poverty and serving people who understood little about the most elementary facets of Scripture and the life of the soul. Yet these men stayed the course and left their fingerprints on every church of every denomination in the world today. Monks were and still are solitary men, dedicating every ounce of their being to the Lord and giving up their own families to serve the family of God. Their voices were often the only ones who told of the birth of Christ, and their lives the only example of Christian faith. Even to those who knew them, monks were mysterious figures. Their world was one of sacrifice, their sense of duty second only to their humble spirit. Yet from this spirit and life came one of the most beautiful and soaring carols of Christmas. Much like the lives of most monks, Angels We Have Heard on High is a song steeped in great mystery. Unlike other carols whose writers are known, but whose origins can be clearly traced to a certain time or a certain place, this song seemingly appeared out of the air, because the first to sing Angels We Have Heard on High lived in 19th century France. Many believe that it must have originated there. In fact, most sources today call it a French carol, yet even that assumption is often called into question by songologists. What can be stated with absolute certainty is that this Christmas song must have been penned by a person who had a professional knowledge of the Bible and an incredible gift for taking scripture and reshaping it into verse. This fact, combined with the use of Latin in the song's chorus, making it a Macaronic carol, seems to indicate that a monk or priest from the Catholic Church was more than likely responsible for writing Angels We Have Heard on High. Because the first published versions of the song used French for the verses, many have naturally assumed that its writer was a priest from France. Yet there is evidence that at least part of this great Christmas hymn was sung before Christianity took deep root in Western Europe. A portion of the carol was used in early Christian church services even before the Roman Empire adopted Christianity as the state religion. Angels We Have Heard on High was first published in 1855 in the French songbook Nouveau Recueil de Cantiques, and records indicate that the song had been used in church masses for more than 50 years before that publication. During those 5 decades, the lyrics were coupled with the melody that is still used today. Except for the verses translated into languages other than French, today the song is sung just as it was 50-some years ago. Yet for maybe 1,000 years or more before that, monks probably sang this same song as they celebrated the birth of the Savior. The story may well be as old as the church itself. The song's 4 verses embrace the angels' visit to the lowly shepherds and the shepherds' response. For many biblical scholars, the angels coming to men who worked menial jobs in the fields and informed them of the birth of the Son of God symbolizes that Christ came for all people, rich or poor, humble or powerful. The angel's word in Luke chapter 2, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people," paired with Jesus' own parables concerning shepherds and their flocks, symbolizes that it would be the common man and not kings or religious leaders who would first carry the story of Jesus' life to the masses. But while the shepherd's story of why they came to see the babe in the manger is easily identified in all the stanzas, for many who sing this old song, the chorus is an enigma. Gloria in excelsis Deo, meaning in English, glory to God in the highest, a phrase that played an important part of worship at the church masses dating back to 130 AD. During that period, Pope Telesphorus issued a decree that on the day of the Lord's birth, all churches should have special evening services. He also ordered that at these masses, after the reading of certain scripture or the conclusion of specific prayers, the congregation should always sing the words Gloria in excelsis Deo. Historical church documents reveal that monks carried this executive order throughout the land, and that by the 3rd century it was a practice used by most churches at Christmas services. It can be argued that if the chorus was written within 100 years of Christ's birth, the roots of Angels We Have Heard on High might go back to someone who actually knew Jesus when he walked on earth. Though unproved, it is a very interesting and inspiring idea and ties into the selfless image of a called member of the clergy bringing faith alive in order to spread the message of Jesus Christ's birth, life, and death. Now, another facet of this carol that would seem to tie at least its chorus to the very early Catholic Church is the range of notes found in the chorus. While most modern carols move up and down and cover at least an octave and a half, thus testing the upper or lower limits to the average singer, the phrase Gloria in excelsis Deo barely moves at all. In addition, the melody used by the song never strays more than one octave, and the verse moves through only 6 notes. This simplicity seems to tie the melody to early chants used by monks and taught to their congregation. Now, Webster defines a chant as singing or speaking in a monotone to a hymn-like repetitive melody. Well, using this approach, important elements of worship were passed on from person to person, generation to generation, in the oral tradition. In a day when few read words, much less music, chants helped keep the gospel alive among the common people. Of all the carols born in the chanting tradition, Angels We Have Heard on High was one of the easiest and least challenging, despite the fact that the word Gloria covers three measures and hits almost 20 different notes. Unlike others which failed to inspire as they taught, this song lifted hearts while telling the story and embraced the spirit that a called man of God would have felt as he gave up everything to serve his Lord. So why has this carol of unknown origin remained so popular for so long? Though the tune may be considered monotonous, when the simple text is read, it becomes obvious that few Christmas songs so fully describe the joy that the world felt when the Savior was born in Bethlehem. The lyrics don't just ask the singer to lift up his or her eyes and heart and wonder and observe the beauty of what God has given the world. They demand it. There can be no doubt that whoever wrote Angels We Have Heard on High not only believed the words found in the Bible, but relished that belief. What a great, great explanation of the song, right? Okay, here's today's food for thought. Happiness is a habit cultivated. Albert Hubbard said that. Yeah, you know, habit. You got to cultivate happiness. Our prayer partners today are people who staff nursing homes. Don't they have a difficult job? We got to pray for them. Lifting, cleaning people, cleaning floors. Challenging job. We ask God to bless all the staffs of the nursing home with patience, with health and safety, with gentleness and compassion. That is so very, very important. May God bless them. Now, today's small attempt to make you smile or laugh. These days, it seems that the kids just about run everything in the house except the lawnmower and the vacuum cleaner. Clever thought. You want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Why do I want you to contact me? Well, let me know that you listen to the program. Let me know if you find it helpful. Let me know if there is something I can pray about, something that will help you come closer to God, some burden that you want to share alone, but I can share it with you. You can contact me and write me a check to help me with my hospital for the very, very poor in Oaxaca, Mexico, one of the poorest places in Mexico, way down south. You can make the check out to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Now, the check you make out to Tash, Inc., T-A-S-H, Inc., and then send it to me, Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. And if you do the Internet, visit my website. There's so much good stuff, I think, on my website that you will find helpful. You can learn more about the hospital. Web address, Father Scott Spa, FatherScott.com. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore thee.